How great our joy.
How great our joy.
There's some hesitation there. Come on, this is our third week. We should be up on this. But you did well. Life is certainly a journey. For all of us, our journey of life began long before we were born. Our journey in life begins with all of the people that came before us. You can go back in time as far as you want and see the many journeys that culminated in your life. Sometimes that can be fun, especially for those who can trace their roots back multiple generations. Personally, that kind of stuff fascinates me. I know because my aunt does a lot of great genealogy work, and I come from a long line of farmers that over time migrated west from New Jersey in the late 1600s. I know that my parents had their own journeys that took them away from the farm, and some parts of their journeys were not so pleasant. But despite the unpleasant twists and turns, eventually their paths led to having me. And my parents tried to shape my journey from birth. They loved me. They taught me. They encouraged me, and they disciplined me. My mom took me to church, and my dad taught me valuable lessons about life. They pushed me in school and sports and other activities, all in the hope that they would prepare me for the journey that I would choose in life. And isn't that typical for most of us? Our parents and other people try to prepare us for the journey of our choosing. The problem is that we really do think the journey is our choosing, but it really shouldn't be our choice. When we have faith, our only choice is to follow God. We are to follow where, when, and how God chooses to use us. God has created many unexpected journeys from some very unexpected people. Take Noah, for example, a simple God-fearing man who one day is called to build a boat for an unexpected plan to flood the earth and start over with Noah's family. Abraham, a simple, elderly, God-fearing sheepherder, and God used him and at his advanced age to create a nation. And then through his son Isaac, who he was called to take to the altar. Moses, he had an unexpected fate. From a basket in the river to the house of Pharaoh, and then he became a murderer and an outcast, and then he was called by the burning bush to deliver Israel out of Egypt. Later in the Old Testament, we read about a prostitute named Rahab, a foreign-born woman who helps Joshua and his spies escape, and then later marries into the Jewish family, marrying Salmon. And their children continue through to the line of David. Later, another foreign-born non-Jewish woman named Ruth comes to town and marries Boaz. And two generations later, we have a man named Jesse who had several children, including David. And David was the youngest. He was relegated to herding sheep and being a supply runner for his brothers. And he becomes the unexpected hero when he defeats Goliath and goes on to be Israel's mighty king and conqueror. God promises that the covenant he made with Abraham would be continued and fulfilled through the line of David. And David was promised that one of his heirs would one day be the Messiah. Now think about the unexpected people in David's line. Simple sheepherders, liars, cheaters, foreigners, prostitutes. And all of that in David's line was supposed to come a Messiah. Now, I don't know about you, but does that sound like a good plan to anybody? Not what we would really expect from a line of people that God promised that the whole world would be blessed. And then one day, in the middle of a know-nothing little town, God sends an angel to a know-nothing, humble-dwelling little girl. In today's terms, we might call her the little girl from the wrong side of the tracks. Oh, sure, technically she was from the line of David, and she was engaged to a man who was also from the line of David. But in reality, just as we discussed, that David's line isn't too much to brag about. And she couldn't be farther away from being considered anything of royalty. She wasn't even from a royal city. She was from Nazareth. Nazareth was the butt of many jokes. We read in the New Testament that Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." "Nazareth? Can anything good come from there?" Nathanael asked. Nathanael points out how absurd anything can come from that town, from those uneducated bottom feeders. For Mary, she probably thought her journey was set. She was from a poor and humble working class parents. She would never be one of the haves. She would always be one of the have-nots. She would be the lower class that served the more affluent upper class. She was a good and faithful Jewish girl who planned to follow her parents' bidding and comply with the arranged marriage to Joseph. She was all set to live an ordinary life of being a good Jewish woman and bearing as many children as she could once the marriage was complete. Mary had no great expectations. She knew what her lot in life was, and she was on her journey. And in the scriptures we read, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Now, this was certainly an unexpected turn in the life of Mary. She had no expectation of grandeur. She didn't consider herself highly favored. For the scripture goes on to say, Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. I mean, she imagines this being, this guy, shows up in front of her, and she's got to say, "Is this for real? Because this isn't normal." And as we know, the angel tells her that she is highly favored and that she will be the one who has the one. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." The angel says, "It's true, Mary. Your journey in life has prepared you for this moment. Because of your faith and your willing spirit, God has found favor with you." But Mary is still in disbelief. She said, "How will this be?" She says, "Since I am a virgin." Until the angel came, Mary's plans were set in motion. Her life was exactly what it was supposed to be. She was living out her faith. She was honoring her parents. She was faithful to Joseph. She was doing everything that she thought her life should be. But you see, God had greater plans for her. God had a different journey for her. And you see, God has a journey planned for each of us. And just like Mary, we possibly have a lot of questions, don't we? We wonder, why me? Why would you pick me, God? What do you have for me? How do I get there? What do I do? But if we live faithfully, God will provide the answers. Many of us in here have kids or even grandkids younger than Mary. And we may have plans for them, but God may have other plans that change that. And you see, we as parents and grandparents need to raise them to look for God's plan and look for God's purpose. We need to help them discover how God has gifted them. Help them to be devoted to prayer and scripture. Because see, we tell them you can grow up to be whatever you want to be, don't we? We should be teaching them to grow up to be whatever God wants them to be. What God has gifted them to be. Some of us have teenage kids and grandkids. And we see some of these young people, they have their plans all set out. They're going to go to college, they're going to have a career, and they think they know what they want in a future spouse, and they still have hopes and dreams, and they may have more of an idealistic outlook of where they are headed. But God may have other plans that changes all of that. And again, we as parents and grandparents need to help young ladies choose loving and God-fearing spouses like Joseph. And we need to teach our young men to look for faithful and devoted women like Mary. We need to help them discover God's plan. And for the rest of us that have long passed that wide-eyed, idealistic hope for the future. You remember when you were engaged and first married and, oh, when we have kids, we're going to do this and we're going to do this and this is going to happen. And you realize life doesn't always go that way, does it? Some of us, we've already peaked. And for a lot of us, we have resigned ourselves to whatever life we have. And some of us are okay with it. And most of us don't expect to change anything except our hair and our waistlines. And now our hopes and dreams lie in our kids and grandkids. But God may have other plans for you that can change that. And I'm telling you that no matter how old you are, God still has a plan for you. We need to be diligent in our prayer. We need to be devoted to God's word. And we need to be ready and a willing servant no matter how old we are. Church tradition believes that Mary was maybe 13 to 15 years old. But we know from Scripture that Abraham was in his late 90s. David was a young boy when he conquered Goliath, but Moses was 80 years old when he stood in front of Pharaoh. And last week we learned that Zechariah and Elizabeth were very old when they had their child John. See, God's greatest stories come when ordinary people like you and I are called by God for unexpected journeys. And I sincerely believe that God still has a journey for each of us. And you have to ask yourself, are you living out your plan or are you living out God's plan? Because some of you are all set. You have your retirement. You know what money's in the bank. You got your house paid off. You got your car. You know what's going on. And you think life is okay. But are you living out your plan or living out God's plan? Are you all in? Are you willing to go in an unexpected direction? What if God said, you're going to Cambodia? Would you sell that nice home and move? What if God said, sell everything, get an RV and a trailer and put all your tools in there and start go building houses for the homeless? Would you do it? What if God said, change careers in midlife? You're no longer an accountant. You're no longer a nurse. You're no longer a teacher. You are now in the mission field. Go. Would you be willing? You'd say, but I got important things to do. I got people to take care of. And we as a church has to be ready for some unexpected journeys. Many of you remember the good old days. Back when the church was full and alive and growing. And we can look back and fondly remember those days. I mean, I love that picture of the confirmation class. There were what, 20, 30 people up here? Don't we want that again? But instead of looking back, we should be spending more time looking forward to the journey that God has for this church. And for this church to take an unexpected journey, each and every one of us need to be on the journey that God has called us to do. And to find that journey, we must be like Mary. We must live our lives in a manner that pleases God. And yes, all of us have skeletons in our closet. But guess what? My sin and my skeletons carry equal weight to any and all of the skeletons in your closet. But we serve a merciful God who cleanses. And despite our past, we can become like Mary, highly favored. And that is the beauty of God's grace. Because we are forgiven and we are loved. We must spend time drawing ourselves closer to God. And as we walk with Him, we will begin to hear Him. We will begin to see messengers in our life. Now, I haven't had an angel appear to me. I would love that some days. God, can you send somebody down to talk to me? Tell me what's going on. But Mary got a secondary messenger, didn't she, in Elizabeth? She was scared. She said, okay, God, I'm going to do this, but I don't know how. And she went to the house of Elizabeth. And Elizabeth said, you're wonderful. God has chosen you. The baby in my womb leaped. And she was the messenger that Mary needed. Many of you, I've told the story. I felt a call to be a preacher when I was about 6 to 7 years age. By the age of 12, I had already given my first sermon. But as the teenage years hit, I decided I should follow another journey. I decided to follow my path, and I went a different way. And looking back, I see many different messengers that God put in my life to try to speak to me. My grandmother was one of them, and I didn't listen. My path eventually led me to the Westchester campus of Indiana Wesleyan University, and while trying to continue what I wanted to pursue in a business degree, one of my teachers wrote a note on a paper and said, you should be a preacher. And I heard that message, but I wasn't sure where God was taking me. I wasn't sure how I could become a pastor. I said, God, it's too late. I've messed up too much. My past is gone. It's too far. I can't go to seminary. I can't afford it. I've already got student loan bills. It's not possible. I still needed another messenger. And I volunteered to give a sermon as part of a service in a retirement home for a men's choir. And our pianist became a messenger that spoke to me. And she spoke to our pastors and said, get that guy into something. And from there, that journey has led me here. And I can say that this was not God's original destination when I was 12. But God was able to take my bad choices and use me. And despite the detours that I caused, when I finally surrendered to Him, I had a different kind of joy in my heart, a different kind of satisfaction, a different kind of purpose. And every Sunday, I have a different kind of joy when I get to be here with you. I get a different kind of joy when I get to participate in your weddings and baptisms. I get a different kind of joy and strength when I'm sitting next to you in your darkest and most difficult times. You see, it's different when you find God's purpose for you. God has a journey for you. God is calling you to live in communion with Him. To first of all honor and worship Him above all else. And then a part of our journey is to love and support each other as the church. And then the third part of our journey is to answer our call as His servants, to use the gifts that God has given each of us. And whether you believe it or not, no matter how young you are or how old you are, God has given you a gift. God has a calling for you. He has a journey for you, and likely an unexpected journey. And will you be like Mary and say yes? Mary said, I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. She didn't know all the answers, But she said yes. And because of her willing faith, God continued to bring her signs that she was on the right path. Last week we saw how Elizabeth was a messenger that Mary needed. How Elizabeth's faith allowed God to use her and use her unborn child to bring comfort and peace and joy to Mary. After the child was born and they took him to the temple, God gave him two more messengers to say, "This is the Christ child." You see, God's messengers are talking to you. And we don't know what form that they will take. It could be just through his word alone. It could be through a Sunday sermon. It could be through a song. It could be through a friend. It could be somebody who just leans over and says, "Hey, you know, you got a pretty good voice. Maybe you should use it for God. You know, you're really good at hospitality. Maybe you should think about serving God in this way." You know, God has gifted you with an incredible knowledge. Maybe you should be a teacher for God. Question is, are you listening? Are you willing to answer the call like Mary? And maybe your calling is to be the messenger. Maybe God's put it on your heart to pull somebody off to the side and you're the one who tells them what they need to hear. Maybe it's your job to give them the confidence to go on to the next step. Or maybe it's your job to be the messenger to say, "Hey, you're not going down the right path. This is not where God wants you to be." We will find our greatest joy when we follow God's plan. Mary was brought so much joy by her visit with Elizabeth that she burst out into a song of praise. This is called Mary's song. And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arms. He has scattered those who are proud in their innermost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors." Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." She proclaimed how great our joy. Throughout the Christmas story, so many people had unexpected journeys, but they discovered joy in God's plan. Zachariah and Elizabeth, unexpected pregnancy, but through faith found joy in God's plan. Mary and Joseph, also an unexpected pregnancy, but through faith found joy in God's plan. The wise men traveled to the king's palace first, only to unexpectedly find the real king in a stable. But through faith, found joy in God's plan. The shepherds were in the fields and unexpectedly got a visit from the angels. But through their faith, they went and found joy in God's plan. God's joy is a whole different kind of joy. And if we want to discover it, then we need to live faithfully and be willing to follow God's plan, no matter how unexpected it may be. So the question is, are you willing? Are you listening? And will you say, "Yes, Lord, here I am, your humble servant"? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we don't always know your ways. We don't always know your plan. But when we live out our life in a way that is faithful to you, when we dwell in your scriptures, when your Holy Spirit dwells in our heart, and when we learn to love you first, our eyes will be open to what you have called us to be. And Lord, we never know when and how that message may come to us. But we always need to be open to that message and be willing to answer that message and to have the faith of Mary, that despite all that she faced, despite all the fears and unanswered questions, she said, "Yes, Lord, I will follow you." And along her journey, God continued to bless her with many messengers and many signs that she was going in the right way that you had called her. Lord, I don't know if she knew at that visit of the angel that that journey would take her to the foot of the cross. I don't know if she knew that journey meant that she would see her son laid in a grave. And we certainly don't know if that journey, if she knew that she would see her son raised from the dead to conquer sin for all. But she had faith that he was going to be the Messiah to reign for eternity, just as you promised. Lord, we ask your Holy Spirit to move among us. Lord, through this Advent season, let us see that Christ child and know that because of him, we have some good news to share. That we have a journey to go on for you. Allow us to move away from our journey. Let us move to your journey. This we ask and pray through the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.